رسول الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. This next lecture, inshallah, is entitled The Fruits of Tazkiyah. And our speaker today is, for this lecture, is Sheikh Safwat Nuruddin. And I should probably give a little bit more introduction for the purposes of the cassette. Everyone knows where we are and who is speaking today. But this is Quran and Sunnah Society's 11th annual convention. And Sheikh Safwat is the chairman of Ansar al-Sunnah, which is one of the oldest Salafi organizations that's currently in existence, and it's based in Egypt. And inshallah, translating for Sheikh Safwat will be Brother Yahya. Jazakallah khair.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ونحمد الله عز وجل ونصلي على أفضل خلقه وخاتم رسله وسيد أصفيائه وإمام أنبيائه سيدنا محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته وسار على طريقته وانتهج نهجه إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، أحبابنا الكرام، إخواننا في الإسلام، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
منذ أعوام أربعة مضت وأنا أسعد بالجلوس إليكم للحديث حول بعض مسائل الإسلام، وأبدأ كل موعظة منها باعتذار لذلك الحاجز الذي يقف بيني وبينكم في لسان لا تفهمونه ولسان لا أستطيع الحديث به، ولست أدري بما أعتذر اليوم، وقد مرت سنوات ثلاث على ذلك الاعتذار، لكني أسأل الله جبر العجز وإكمال النقص وحسن الجمع بيننا، إن فارق بيننا اللسان أن يجمع بيننا الرحمن في جنة عرضها السماوات والأرض أعدت للمتقين.
The Sheikh began by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending peace and blessings upon his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, "Dear beloved and my brothers in al-Islam, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh." And he said, 4 years ago when I first had the opportunity to sit amongst you, meaning the English-speaking Muslim brothers in this country, for my first visit to this convention, I began my first discussion and I apologized for the lack of being able to speak your language and for your lack of being able to understand my language. But now 4 years later, I have been coming for the last 4 years. In this fourth year, I do not know what to say, whether to apologize or not. But all I can say is that I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who may have placed a barrier between us today and in this life through language, to break the barrier when we are in the Jannah, in Jannatul Firdausi, insha'Allah ta'ala.
أحبابنا الكرام، وددت أني أطلت الجلوس بينكم، فلعل ذلك أن يجعل لساني ينطلق وقولي يبين، حتى أستطيع أن أعبر لكم عما في نفسي تعبيرا مباشرا، وإن كنت لا أستغني عن أخ كريم كأخي يحيى، ينقل كلماتي إليكم، لكني أريد قربا أكثر منكم.
The chef says, my dear brothers, I would love to sit with you longer in time periods in order that I may learn your language and learn your habits, so that I myself would be able to directly convey my love to you, convey my words to you, to convey my feelings to you. Although he says we may still need in some way or form some type of translation, but he said this would be his greatest feeling to have, to be able to converse with you brothers who have entered into al-Islam, or those of you who have been living in this society and have not had the ability to learn the language as of yet.
لكني أظنكم عرفتم أن مؤتمرنا اليوم موضوعه التزكية، ووجدت أن تستخدم لفظة التزكية بلفظها الإسلامي، لفظها العربي، فلا نحتاج فيها إلى ترجمة، لأني ما أخال أن هناك كلمة من كلمات اللغة غير العربية تستطيع أن تستوعب معنى التزكية بجملة ما فيه. لذلك أود أن تعرفوا هذه اللفظة العربية التزكية.
He says, but now let us focus on our topic, which as you know in this conference and in this convention, our major theme is التزكية, or purity, or purifying. But he is instructing me, I guess, and you, that from now on, from here on in, we should not translate this word tazkiya. We should leave it in its Arabic origin in order to learn it and in order to enforce it, because as he says correctly, and he is correct in saying it, there is absolutely no English equivalent to equivocate its meaning. But what he will now wish to do with us is give us a direct understanding of what the word tazkiyah means, so we will not have to use the word purification or sanctification or whatever other words that people are using to describe a tazkiyah.
أحبابنا الكرام، موضوعنا حول ثمار التزكيه. ثمار التزكيه يشبه لنا أن التزكية شجرة، غذاؤها الإيمان، ولها ثمار. فنريد اليوم أن نتعرف على الثمار حتى نعتاد اقتطاف تلك الثمار، وثمارها حلوة، وتركه ينبت شجرة خبيثة ثمارها مرة. فشجرة الإسلام، شجرة التزكية، ثمارها في الدنيا السعادة، وثمارها في الآخرة نجاة من النار وفوز بالجنة.
The Sheikh continues and says, our topic, as you all know, for this meeting is the fruits of tazkiyah. And this title gives us the metaphor or the understanding that tazkiyah is a tree. It is a tree which bears fruit. Iman are the roots of the tree. Al-Iman is the roots of this tree. And the fruit that is developed is at-tazkiyah. So let us become acquainted with how to be able to grasp these fruits, and what these fruits and these sweet things will be when we are able to grasp them. And we must also understand that opposite to the tree of tazkiyah is the tree of evil. It's the tree of evil, which has no roots of iman, and its fruits are evil and evil deeds. So he said, let us look at the Islamic tree, the tree of al-Islam, which bears the fruit of the tree of Islam, which is tazkiyah, and let us see and try to develop the actions to lead us to acquiring its sweet fruits.
إذن ثمار التزكية في الدنيا سعادة. يرحمكم الله. ثمار التزكية في الدنيا سعادة، وفي الآخرة جنة. وأظنكم، وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته، لابد أن تعرفوا كلمة الجنة ولفظها العربي الجنة. الجنة، فهدف المسلم في دنياه مرضاة الله والجنة، وخوف المسلم من غضب الله والنار، وطريق ذلك هو التزكية. فالتزكية سعادة دنيوية وسعادة أخروية.
The Sheikh explains furthermore and says the fruits of the tree of tazkiyah are of two types. A fruit that is taken or can be found in the dunya, which is sa'ada, happiness and contentness in this life. Being happy and content with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as your Lord and Muhammad as your messenger and al-Islam as your religion. And in the akhirah, the fruit in the akhirah of tazkiyah is al-jannah. And let us pause here for a second and understand what is al-jannah. For al-jannah is the goal of the believers after hoping for Allah's reward. Their goal is the jannah. Pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is their first objective and obeying Him. Their second objective is entering into the jannah, seeking the jannah. While they are also trying to not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so they will not be admitted into the fire.
أحبابنا الكرام، أرجو ألا تتألموا كثيرا من فارق هذه الترجمة، حيث تسمعون الكلام مرة فلا يبلغ إلى أفهامكم ثم يترجم إليكم. واعلموا أن الأجر على قدر المشقة، فبقدر ما بذلت من جهد في تحصيل علم بقدر ما يأجرك رب العزة سبحانه.
My beloved, I hope that my words to you being spoken in the Arabic language, he means, are not something that is causing you to feel some distress or laziness or boredom. Especially when you may hear the words once from my mouth and then you will not understand them, and that you are waiting to hear them once more in your own language so that you may understand them. He says, but I wish you to understand an important point, which is Allah will give you the reward as much as He has given you hardship. As much as you have hardship, you will have reward for this same amount of hardship. So to you it may seem like hard to try to understand and to sit here and try to comprehend the words of the Sheikh, but you will be rewarded for this same time and effort in the amount of the hardship that you may have received.
التزكية عرفتم معناها والمقاصد إليها، وحديثنا اليوم عن الثمار، والحديث عن الثمار لابد أن يحفل بالأمثلة. فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وصحبه الكرام عاشوا في مكة سنوات يتحملون الشدة والجهد والتعذيب. ما الذي دعاهم لذلك؟ زكت نفوسهم فتطلعت إلى عطاء الله في الجنة، فتحملوا الشدة التي أصابتهم من أهل مكة، تحملوا ذلك في سبيل الله طلبا للجنة. ولذا فإن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لما مر على ياسر وزوجه سمية وولدهما عمار وهم يعذبون من المشركين قال لهم صبرا آل ياسر فإن موعدكم الجنة.
The Sheikh points to us that before he has spoken to us, others have spoken and have clarified the point of tazkiyah, what it means, and we know its understanding and we know what it means. Now let us look and focus on our topic, which is the fruits of tazkiyah. And the only way to fully and systematically comprehend this is to see examples of this, how the Sahaba and others received the fruits of tazkiyah. We know the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions radiallahu anhum lived in Mecca for many years under hardship, turmoil, punishment, abuse at the hands of the disbelievers. But what made them sustain all of this? What made them stay in this? It was because their souls had tazkiyah. Their souls had tazkiyah. And they knew that when they withstood this hardship, Allah would reward them with its equivalency in reward. This is why we see the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was walking by one of the pathways and he saw Yasir and his wife Sumayyah and his son Ammar being punished and brutalized and in turmoil in the hands of the disbelievers, he turned to them and he said, Sabran, have patience, the family of Yasir, for your reward will be Jannah. For your reward shall be the Jannah.
ما الذي جعل بلال ابن رباح رضي الله عنه يوضع الحجر على ظهره في شدة الحر في رمضاء مكة وهو لا يقول إلا أحد أحد أحد؟ ما الذي جعل القوم يتحملون ذلك العذاب الشديد؟ ما الذي جعل القوم يتحملون الألم الكثير ولا يقولون إلا أحد أحد؟ ذلك لأنهم عرفوا أن الموعد الجنة فهانت عليهم تلك الآلام التي يشعرون بها من وقع السياط وكي الحجارة وشدة الألم لأن الموعد الجنة.
And what caused Bilal ibn Rabah, the son of Rabah, to sustain the abuse that he sustained, having rocks being loaded on him in the middle of the heat of Mecca in the summer? What made him sustain this pain and punishment, only saying, Ahadun Ahad, he is one, he is one? What was the reason for him to sustain this? What caused him to withstand this, only saying, one, he is one? Because he knew that the reward is the Jannah. He knew that the reward shall be the Jannah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this caused the pain of the rocks and the whips and the abuse to be secondary to the na'im that he shall soon see in the Jannah.
بذل الأموال وبذل الأرواح وضحوا بكل راحة وضحوا بالغالي والنفيس طلبا للجنة. عرفوا أن الجنة غالية فباعوا الدنيا من أجلها. رب العزة خاطبهم إن الله اشترى من المؤمنين أنفسهم وأموالهم بأن لهم الجنة. اشترى، فلما اشترى الله عز وجل باعوا لله والثمن مضمون لأن المشتري هو الله رب العزة، هو وهب الحياة واشتراها، هو وهب العين واشتراها، هو وهب كل شيء في الأرض ثم اشترى جانبا منه بسعادة أخروية، الجنة.
Wealth and souls were sacrificed in hope of the Jannah. They knew that the Jannah is their final reward and is their final place. And they were expecting the Jannah. And they knew that the Jannah is expensive. They knew that the Jannah is expensive. And it would require their souls and their wealth and their abilities to be sacrificed for it. For Allah has said, Allah has purchased from the believers their souls and their wealth in exchange that they shall receive the Jannah. That they shall be given entrance into the Jannah. So they would give their life. They would give their wealth. They will give their families, their children, their ability. Everything in order to enter into the Jannah. To sell their souls and their wealth in exchange for the Jannah, because it is promised to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
التزكية أثمرت فيهم التنافس، أثمرت فيهم في دنياهم التنافس، التنافس في طلب العلم أولا، والتنافس في بذل المال ثانيا، والتنافس في ترك الراحة والدعة ثالثا، والتنافس في بذل الأرواح والدماء رابعا.
تزكية it caused for them to hurry and to race against one another. The Sahaba would race one against one another and compete with one another as to who shall give more in different categories. First, al-ilm, who can learn more, who can learn more and acquire more knowledge. In giving away wealth, giving away sadaqah, giving away from their wealth to others who are less needy, who are more needy. Number three, leaving rest. Not resting as much, standing up in prayer, not being lazy. Number four, giving their life for al-Islam.
التنافس لما وجد بسبب التزكية نافس النساء الرجال ونافس الصغار الكبار ونافس المرضى الأصحاء ونافس الفقراء الأغنياء.
The competition that was developed in Tazkiyah came in different forms. It caused that the women would be in competition with the men, wanting to have a greater reward than their men. The small competing against the older in age. The young competing against the old. The sick competing against the well and the healthy. The poor competing against the rich and the wealthy.
تنافس النساء مع الرجال. امرأة جاءت إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقالت يا رسول الله الرجال يشهدون معك الجمع والجماعات ويخرجون معك إلى الغزوات ولهم على ذلك الأجر الجزيل فماذا لنا؟ فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم اعلمي يا امرأة وأعلم من وراءك أن حسن تبعل المرأة لزوجها يعدل ذلك كله.
Let us look at the example of women and men in competition. One of the Sahabiyat came to the Messenger Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم and said, O Messenger of Allah, the men attend with you the Jumu'ah and the Jama'ah prayers, and they exit with you and they go and fight fi sabilillah, wage war with you, O Messenger of Allah. And what is left for us? So we told her, know for a fact, and tell those who have sent you, who are behind you in this question, that for you to obey your husband in what Allah has asked you to obey him is better than all of this.
إذن فالأمر هنا تربوي جيد. المرأة تنال أجر زوجها إن جاهد أو كافح أو خرج في عمل شاق بحسن تبعلها له، والرجل يسعد بأن يأوي في بيته امرأة تؤجر من الله على حسن قيامها بشأنه وتبعلها له، ما أسعد ذلك البيت. هذه هي السعادة الأسرية الدنيوية التي تثمرها التزكية.
He explains the hadith even more, and just to add to the translation of the hadith previously, the Rasul said, for her to obey her husband and to take his place when he is gone in these things is better than all of this. The Sheikh says, for the woman, in being in her in his place, being under control and protecting herself and her family when her husband is gone, whether at war or in jama'ah or in any of these activities, she will have this a better reward than him. And in the husband realizing this, he is happy. For he knows that when he has left his wife in his place to perform these actions and duties, he knows that she is being given a reward equal and maybe more than his. So he is content with this and happy with this. Why? Because of at-tazkiyah. And this is the true family happiness and structure that can ever be found in our days and our times.
المرضى ينافسون الأصحاء، فهذا عمرو بن الجموح رضي الله عنه كان أعرج شديد العرجة، وقد جاءت غزوة أحد وله 4 أبناء شبان فتيان أقوياء، جمعهم وقال لهم يا أبنائي إني أريد أن أخرج إلى الغزو مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، فقالوا له يا أبانا إن الله قد عذر فيك ونحن فتيان أقوياء شبان 4 نكفيك القتال، فغضب وشكى إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال إن أبنائي هؤلاء يمنعوني الجنة، قال وما ذاك؟ قال يمنعوني أن أخرج معك إلى الغزو فأضرب هاهنا فأطأ بعرجتي هذه في الجنة. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم له أما أنت فقد عذر الله فيك. وقال لأبنائه دعوه لعل الله يرزقه الشهادة، تأمل، يرزقه الشهادة، الموت صار رزق، يرزقه الشهادة. فخرج فقتل شهيدا، فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رأيته يمشي برجله في الجنة لا عرجة فيها. رأيته يمشي برجله في الجنة لا عرجة فيها.
Let us now look at another point showing the competition between the sick and the healthy or the weak, how they would compete with one another. We know the story of Amr ibn al-Jamuh, who had a crippling disease and he was extremely crippled, could not walk properly. But when the time of the battle of Uhud came, he gathered his four sons, who were strong and healthy and well and able. And he told them, I am intending to go and fight alongside the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the battle of Uhud. So they answered him and they said, our father, Allah has given you an excuse for you to stay. You do not have to go out with us. So he became extremely angry with them and left and went to the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he told them, Ya Rasulullah, my sons are prohibiting me and restricting me from the Jannah. And the Rasul said, how is this? He said, they are telling me I should not go and fight with you, alongside you in the battle of Uhud. So the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked to him and he told him, as for you, Allah has given you an excuse. You do not have to go. And as for you, meaning his four sons, maybe Allah will give him the rizq, the sustenance, the blessing, the bounty of being killed and being a martyr. The Shaykh points out, it is a rizq, as the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, to die. It is a sustenance and a bounty and a grace from Allah to die in such a position and in such a way. And he went and he fought in the battle of Uhud, radiallahu anhu. And he was struck down in battle. And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I see him in the Jannah walking without a cripple.
الصغار ينافسون الكبار في غزوة بدر. قال عبد الرحمن بن عوف رضي الله تعالى عنه، نظرت على يميني فإذا غلام، ونظرت على يساري فإذا غلام، فخفت أن يؤتى المسلمون من قبلي، فإذا الذي عن يميني يقول يا عم أتعرف أبا جهل؟ قلت نعم، وما حاجتك به؟ قال علمت أنه كان يؤذي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، حلفت إن رأيته ألا يفارق سوادي سواده حتى يقتل الأعجل منا. وإذا الذي عن يساري يسألني ذلك، فلما لاح أبو جهل قلت ها هو صاحبكما، فأسرع فابتدراه فقتلاه، وأسرع إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقولان، كل منهما يقول يا رسول الله أنا قتلت أبا جهل. فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم أيكما قتله؟ فقال كل واحد منهما أنا قتلته. فقال هل مسحتما سيفيكما؟ قال لا. قال أرياني. فنظر فقال كلاكما قتله.
The Sheikh says, let us now look at the point of the young, or the competition between the young and the old. Abdurrahman ibn Awf, he narrates to us that in the battle of Badr, he looked to his right behind him and he saw a young boy. And he looked to his left and he saw another young boy. And one of the one on his right told him and asked him, do you know what Abu Jahl looks like? And he told him, yes, what do you want from him? He said, I was afraid that the Muslims, seeing that the youth were behind us, I was afraid that the Muslims would be encircled from the back. So one of the boys asked him and he said, do you know what Abu Jahl looks like? And he told him, yes, what do you want with him? He told him, I heard that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was put in distress and in turmoil from his actions to him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So I have intended and I have promised never to meet up with him and him with me except that we fight and the quickest of us who die shall die. And then I turned to my left and the one on my left, the young boy, also said the same thing. So in the middle of the battle I pointed to them and I said, there is Abu Jahl. And both of them ran at the same time to him. And they climbed him and they cut him down. They killed him. And both of them ran to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam and they both came to him and he said, I killed Abu Jahl. Each one said, I killed him. Hoping for the reward. So the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, did you wipe his blood from your swords? They said, no. And they showed him their swords and the blood was still on both. He said, both of you have killed him. Both of you have killed him.
الفقراء ينافسون الأغنياء يروي أبو هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن جماعة من فقراء المدينة قالوا يا رسول الله ذهب الأغنياء يقولون يا رسول الله ذهب الأغنياء بالأجر يصلون كما نصلي ويصومون كما نصوم ولهم فضول أموال يتصدقون ولا نتصدق ويعتقون ولا نعتق فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا أدلكم على ما إذا فعلتموه أدركتم من سبقكم وسبقتم من معكم ولم يأتي أحد يوم القيامة بمثل ما عملتم إلا أحد عمل بما عملتم أو زاد عليه تسبحون وتحمدون وتكبرون دبر كل صلاة 33 وتمام 100 أن تقولوا لا إله إلا الله فعمل الفقراء فسمع الأغنياء فعملوا كما عملوا فعاد الفقراء يقولون يا رسول الله سمع إخواننا الأغنياء بما أخبرتنا فعملوا كما عملنا فقال ذاك فضل الله يؤتيه من يشاء فكأن الأغنياء المنفقين يسبقهم الفقراء الذاكرين تنافس فإن لم يشغل الأغنياء المال فصاروا منفقين وصاروا مع إنفاقهم ذاكرين فذاك فضل الله ألا يشغلك المال عن طاعة أو عبادة ولا يحجب الفقير عن بلوغ مراتب المنفقين المتصدقين إن كان من الذاكرين.
Let us now look at the competition between the poor and the wealthy. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates, a group of poor people came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam and they said, O Messenger of Allah, our wealthy companions and friends have a great reward, more than us. They pray like we do. We pray and they pray. They fast and we fast. But they have wealth that they give in sadaqah which we do not. And they have wealth to release captives and slaves which we do not have the ability to do. So the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam told them, I will tell you of something that you can do to catch those who are ahead of you. And to beat those who are at the same level with you. To say after every prayer, 33 times as we know, alhamdulillah, as we know the hadith 33 and 33 and 33 and to complete one and to complete it 100, this is greater for you to do than the actions they will do. So the poor people did this. The fuqara, they followed the advice of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But their rich companions and friends heard about this hadith, and they began to do with them. So the poor people returned to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they told him, now our friends and companions who are wealthy have heard. Now they are doing as us. So how can we, so what do we do? So the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, this is Allah's bounty and blessing and benefit. He gives to whom He ever wishes, to whom He wishes. But the shahid, the point that must be made, as the Shaykh points out, that a person who may not have a lot of wealth, but who is dhakir and always remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in implementing this hadith and others like it, can reach a higher level than those who are wealthy and yet do not enforce what they are supposed to do with their wealth and remember Allah in such a way. So this is a way of the competition between the poor and the wealthy.
التنافس ثمرة من ثمار التزكية. التنافس جعل الصحابة رضوان الله عليهم يتسابقون في أبواب الخيرات، وفي ذلك فليتنافس المتنافسون. لكنهم لما علموا أن الله جلت قدرته أعد جنة للطائعين، أطاعوا الله وأخفوا طاعتهم عن الخلق أجمعين ما استطاعوا. فهذا عمر بن الخطاب لما صار واليا على المسلمين أميرا للمؤمنين، مر بين ديار المدينة فرأى جماعة قد نصبوا خيامهم، وفيهم امرأة عجوز قد أعياها أن تجد لصغارها طعاما، فهم يتضورون جوعا. فجاءها يسألها، فقالت إن عمر لا يرعانا. قال وما يدري عمر بك؟ قالت أيتولى أمرنا وينسانا؟ فذهب مسرعا إلى أهله فحمل إليهم دقيقا وأعد لها طعاما، وجلس ينفخ في النار حتى ينضج الطعام، والمرأة تقول له أنت أحق بالولاية من عمر، وهو يقول لها استغفر الله له، ولا يعرفها بنفسه وهو أمير المؤمنين يرجو بذلك جنة رب العالمين.
Competition, as we have stated, is one of the fruits of tazkiyah. The Sheikh continues and says, it caused the Sahaba to strive and to race with one another as to who shall implement more and acquire more deeds and more fruits. We see that when they realized that the Jannah was the final reward, many of the Sahaba would hide their deeds from others, wouldn't allow others to know to the extent of their good deeds. Let us look and see the story of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, when he was elected leader, when he was the Khalifa, Amirul Mu'mineen. He was passing by late at night through the pathways of Al-Madinah, checking around, and he noticed a group of tents that had been set up. So he went and looking around, he saw an old woman with many kids. And he saw the kids crying from lack of food, and he asked her what is wrong. She said, Umar does not take care of us and we are under him. So he told her, how do you know Umar knows about you? She told him, how can he be our leader and forget about us, not know about us? Tabi radiallahu anhu ran to the storehouses of the Muslimin and brought back flour and wheat and the food necessities, carrying it on his back, and arrived to her back to her tent and built the fire for her, blowing on the fire to get it started. And she, in the whole time watching him doing this, she's saying, you are more worthy of a leader than Umar, not knowing that he is Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. So he told her, just istaghfiri, ask Allah for forgiveness for him. Not telling her that he is Umar, keeping this deed as a secret instead of informing her.
الصحابة رضوان الله عليهم وأئمة الإسلام من بعدهم لما زكت أرواحهم فرغبوا فيما عند الله هانت عليهم الدنيا فقاموا لله رب العالمين. فهذه زوجة عثمان بن حنيف رضي الله تعالى عنهما، دخلت على زوجات النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فرأينها متبذلة، فقلنا لها ما هذا وإن زوجك لأغنى رجالات قريش. قالت ما لنا فيه حاجة، أما ليله فقائم وأما نهاره فصائم. فلما أخبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بذلك قال له يا عثمان أو ما لك في أسوة؟ قال وما ذاك؟ قال علمت أنك تصوم النهار وتقوم الليل وإن لربك عليك حقا ولأهلك عليك حقا ولبدنك عليك حقا فأعطي كل ذي حق حقه. فلما دخلت زوجة عثمان بن حنيف على زوجات النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بعد، رأينها كأنها عروس، يعني قد اعتنت بنفسها، فقلنا ميهم؟ قالت أصابنا ما أصاب الناس، فانظر رعاك الله كيف أنه لما علم ما في القيام والصيام من أجر ترك الدنيا حتى ترك زوجته. فزهدت هي الأخرى فقامت إلى الله رب العالمين. فلما عرفه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه واجب عليه أن يعطي كل ذي حق حقه، أعطى فاستقام، ذلك لأنهم رغبوا ما عند الله رب العالمين.
The Sahaba and the Imams of the Muslimin after them, when they sought out the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the dunya became worthless to them, not something important in any bit, shape, way or form. And we can emphasize this and show this to you from the example, from the story when the wife of Uthman ibn Hanif, she entered upon some of the Prophet's wives radiallahu alayhin, and she entered upon them and they saw her dressed shabbily, not taking care of her appearance. And they told her, why are you dressed in such a way when your husband is one of the richest of the people of Mecca? Why haven't you taken care of yourself? And she told them, my husband, Uthman ibn Hanif, he stays the whole day in fast and the whole night in prayer. So he has no time for me. So when the Prophet's wives told the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he approached Uthman ibn Hanif and he told him, I hear, is there not a part of my sunnah that you are following? Or is my sunnah not full for you? And he explained to him, he told him, I hear that you pray all night and you fast all day. And it is true that Allah has a right over you, that you must worship Him as much as you can. Yet, your family, your wife has a right over you. And your body, your rest, has a right over you. So then the next day or a while after, his wife came back in the presence of the Prophet's wives, radiallahu anhum. In their presence, she came back to them and they saw her dressed nicely, taking care of her appearance. And they told her, what has changed you? She said, we receive now the same that the others receive. We are receiving now what the others are receiving. And the point that the Sheikh is trying to make, he says, the important point is that when this Sahabi, Uthman, became full in the Akhirah, not forsaking the dunya, he even forgot about the small pleasures. His wife, resting. He left all of this for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam corrected him and brought him back to the closest of the sunnah, instructing him that his family has a right over him and his body has a right over him. But the point of the story is that when a person is absorbed in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he can come to a point where he will not have delight in the things of the dunya.
أريد أيها الأحباب الكرام أن أضرب أمثلة كثيرة، لكن يضيق بنا المقام. فالتزكية تعلو بنفس المسلم حتى تبلغ إلى درجة السعادة في الدنيا والآخرة، وحتى تعلموا أن السعادة إنما تأتي للنفوس الزكية، وأن الشقاوة تأتي للنفوس الردية التي تفعل أرازل الأمور. هب أن رجلان خرجا من بيتهما في جنح الظلام، الليل دامس والطريق مظلم، حمل في أحدهما في جيبه مالا، ذهب إلى بيت فقراء أو أيتام يعرفهم، فطرق الباب، فلما فتح ألقى إليهم المال وعاد مسرعا، تصدق حتى لا يعلم أحد صدقته. والآخر خرج حتى ذهب إلى بيت يعلم أن أصحابه ادخروا فيه مالا، فكسر خزانته وسرق المال الذي فيه، وعاد في طريقه، رجعا معا في طريق واحد. أيهما الذي يسير سعيدا وأيهما الذي يمشي مضطربا؟ أجيبوني، تعرفوا أين السعادة؟
I wish to sit here and give you many, many more examples, but the time does not permit. But the Sheikh says, we must understand that tazkiyah gives true happiness and contentness in this life. And he gives us a quick, reflective example. He says, if two men walking in the same street, in pitch black, no one knows who the other is, one of them goes to a house of people he knows are poor, he knows are needy, and he has money in his pocket, and without anyone being able to distinguish who he is, he goes to the house and gives them the money and leaves quickly, without saying a word. And the other person, who was on the same path, walking in the same street in the dark, he knows that there is a house with a safe in it. And he enters the house and he steals from it money. And he returns and both of these men meet up once more walking back. Who of them will be in a state of happiness and peace? Who of them will be in a state of happiness and peace? They are both returning after having done something. Who will be the one who is in peace and in content? If you know this, then you will know the success and the happiness that is derived from التزكية.
كل ما تحدثت به عن التزكية من ثمار إنما هو بعض ثمار الدنيا والدنيا ثانية وثمارها قليلة. وأما الحديث عن الثمار الأخروية فكثير. وإنما أطلت الحديث في الأمر الدنيوي لأن الناس ينظرون إلى أعمال الكافرين فيظنون فيها السعادة، والله جلت قدرته يقول والذين كفروا أعمالهم كسراب بقيعة يحسبه الظمآن ماء حتى إذا جاءه لم يجده شيئا ووجد الله عنده فوفاه حسابه والله سريع الحساب. فانتبه أننا نركض كما يركض الكافرين ظانين أنهم في مالهم الذي جمعوا سعداء، في شهواتهم التي انغمسوا فيها سعداء، فنجري وراءهم ونلهث كما يلهثون لنحصل كما حصلوا، فإذا أدركناها لم نجدها شيئا ووجدنا الله عندها يوم الحساب والله سريع الحساب.
I have given you examples of the fruits of tazkiyah, most of them in regards to the dunya. But as for the fruits of the akhirah, they are many and many and many. And since we do not have too much time, he will leave this part off in a form of trailing, which we will discuss with you later. But he says it is important for us to know and understand that when we see the happiness of the disbelievers, or what we think is their happiness or their contentness, seeing them they have the wealth and the money and the children and the power, we think that they are success. But when we do their actions, doing the same thing they do, we arrive at the place they are and we realize that they had no happiness. We realize that they had no happiness. And this is described by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, where He says, and you will do their actions and when you reach, لَمْ تَجِدْهُ شَيْئًا. You will see that it was actually nothing. It was like a mirage. It was something that you thought. But in true fact, it was nothing. وَوَجَدَ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ. And you shall find that Allah shall be there to give you either the reward or the punishment. And Allah shall give them the punishment. وَاللَّهُ سَرِيعُ الْحِسَابِ. And Allah is quick to bring to judgment. Insha'Allah, now we will quickly turn to the questions. The Sheikh is pointing out that insha'Allah, we shall discuss the second part, which is the thimar of the akhirah, the fruits that are found in the akhirah. And this will be discussed with you at a later date insha'Allah. In order to give you some time for some questions, because I realize in the time I have been here with you all day today, that we haven't answered too many questions, maybe not one, Allahu A'lam. So we will give you the next 10 or 15 minutes for the question and answer, inshaAllah. I will quickly discuss with you some of the points that the Sheikh had planned. He, from the thimar, from the fruits, is that you will have peace in the grave, and you shall have a great blessing in the Jannah, as the Shaykh has been describing for us. And also on the Day of Judgment, you will be from those who will not be affected adversely with adversity, like how the mushrikeen and the disbelievers shall be affected. And also from the fruits and from the major fruits is that you will be not from the people of the fire. And what greater of a fruit is this of tazkiyah, that you shall not be from those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be punishing. And these points inshaAllah quickly, the Shaykh will also discuss them with us at a later date.
سؤال يسأل أحد الإخوان الصغار ذهب فأكل في محل من الدانون سلاد إلى ودعني محل يعني تعرفه I will repeat in English now. فوجد بعد أن أكل أن الزيت اللي يشبه فيه كان فيه خنزير.
The question is, one of the younger brothers went and was eating in McDonald's. And after he had finished eating, he realized that after asking that the oil that they were frying in wasn't oil, but it was lard. So he is asking the chef what is to be done and what is the...
What should he do?
يعني الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام يقول رفع عن أمتي الخطأ والنسيان وما استكرهوا عليه فهذا وقع منه خطأ فهو معفو مغفور له.
The chef answers, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, it has been raised over my ummah, any misaction that they do, if they do it as a mistake, khata, or due to forgetfulness, khata'un aw nisyan, and anything that they were forced to do that they had not originally intended. So if the person had done it without intention and not knowing or due to forgetfulness, which may seem to be the case, then there would be no punishment for him. The next question is, someone used to smoke, we will make it a general question, someone used to smoke and now he has stopped smoking, is there something that he must do as a repentance or something as such?
اعلم أن التوبة تجب ما قبلها فمن فعل ذنوبا تاب عنها ومهما كثرت تاب الله عليه وفي الحديث يا ابن آدم لو أتيتني بقراب الأرض خطايا ثم جئتني لا تشرك بي شيئا غفرت لك ولا أبالي فعليك بالتوبة والتوحيد.
The Shaykh answers, as we know from our doctrine and our i'tiqad, that the tawbah negates any of the misaction that was done before it. So if a person has done a misaction and he has repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will be forgiven for this action if his tawbah is sincere and accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the Shaykh mentions to us the hadith where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hadith al-Qudsi says, O son of Adam, if you arrive to me, لا تشرك بي شيئا, and you have not committed shirk with me. And if you have committed sins that would cover the whole of the earth, but yet you arrive to me at the time of your death, you arrive to me, and you have not committed shirk with me, meaning you have returned to true belief, I will forgive for you wala ubali, and I will not make a point of it. And therefore the Shaykh said, therefore it is our duty to understand and to know that you must fulfill tawbah and you must fulfill tawheed, singling out Allah in worship. Are there any questions that are written from the sisters or anything like this? Or تفضل. Is the mic? No.
Okay. Okay. Here's one question from the sisters.
Oh, sorry, it's working.
Sheikh, I have a question. I have a confusion since I'm young. I want to know what is the real da'wah. How Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to give da'wah to non-Muslims, and after Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions or tabi'een used to give da'wah to the Muslims who became away from the mosque or away from the religion. And is there is anything in our religion that we have to spend a time like 3 days, 40 days or something like that for da'wah? So I want a brief answer for this, because I never asked anybody and I'm standing in middle. I don't know, I have to go here or this side.
Inshallah. منذ الصغر في حيرة نسمع هو تضعني منه في مثلها دعوة التبليغ عندهم يقول بالخروج 3 أيام 4 أيام 40 يوم، فهذا شيء، هل هذا كان جائز أو يجوز عند الصحابة أو التابعين أو النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ والسؤال الأول، إن لم يجوز فما هي منهجية الدعوة؟ كيف نؤدي الدعوة؟
دعوة. الدعوة إلى الله لا بد لها من مثال، فكن ممثلا للدعوة أي عاملا بها في نفسك. يا من تحيا بين الكافرين، استغني عن دنياهم بالعمل الحلال، واجعلهم بحسن خلقك وصدقك يحتاجون إلى دينك، فتكون للإسلام خير مثال. هذا، وإننا في حاجة إلى إخراج العاصي من معصيته، فإذا ذهب أقوام إلى من يبيع الخمر يرشدونه حتى يترك الخمر، وإلى من يبيع الخنزير يرشدونه حتى يترك بيع الخنزير، وإلى من يتعامل بالربا حتى يترك الربا، وإلى من يترك الصلاة حتى يأتي إلى المسجد في الصلاة، فهذا أمر فاضل، لكن أن يرتب الناس لذلك ترتيبا من عندهم كخروج أيام معدودة أو على صفة معدودة لم يأتي بها الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام، فعلينا أن نلزم سنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
The Sheikh answers by saying دعوة الله it's best shown through example, and this is the action of the رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم and his Sahaba, meaning you work with it in your life, showing it to others as you being the prime example of what Islam can do to others or for others. Meaning you live a clean, halal, pure, clean-cut life. And being honest and true and trusting so that the disbelievers or those you are calling can look at you and say, we are in need to be like him. This is the quickest way and the most accurate way and the most systematic way of da'wah. And then he says, the Sheikh says, for the second part of your question,
As for those who make certain days or certain numbers of days to go, although we know going to people who sell alcohol or who buy it or who eat or sell pig or who use riba transactions, interest and as such, or those who do not pray, although going to them and calling them back to al-Islam is a noble cause, and it is something that we are required to do, it is not to be done in a way opposing the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam or not using the sunnah of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For an example of this is combining or naming or placing a certain number of hours or days that you would say, okay, on these days we would go to such a region and make da'wah. This was not from the action of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam or the sunnah. Jazakum.
Actually, we only have time for one more. I wanted to take one from the sisters before, because it's already 7 o'clock and I'm sure many of us are probably hungry by now. I'm choosing the smallest question, and there are a few more, 5 more questions from the sisters that haven't been answered yet. If I can, inshallah, I'll try to get them answered during dinner time from whomever I can, and then if we have answers, I can put them out during the next lecture. But this one is concerning sins. What about when children get sick? Is this from their sins when they don't have any, or from their parents? This is the literal wording.
When they get sick?
What about when children get sick? Is this from their sins when they don't have any, or from their parents?
هل مرض الطفل الصغير يأتي من ذنب ارتكبه الطفل أو ارتكبه الأبوين للطفل؟
أحبابنا الكرام، إن الكثير من الذنوب، إنما كثير من الأضرار التي نقع فيها إنما هي بسبب معاصينا وذنوبنا، لكن ليس من الضروري أن نفسر كل ذنب أو كل مصيبة بذنب، لأن النبي وهو أفضل خلق الله مرض، ولأن الطفل قد يولد مريضا، فإنما ذلك الله عز وجل يجعله من باب الاختبار ليزيد فيه أجور الخلق يختبرهم بذلك. والله أعلم.
He says, dearly beloved, although we understand that many trials that we may be put through can be as a reason of purification from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala due to mistakes or sins that we may have committed, but it cannot be said in a general statement that because your child is sick or a child is sick, that this is due to that his sickness is due to a reason that your child committed a sin or you did. For the quickest proof to this is that the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to get sick. And also we can deduce and know that your child can be born with an illness. This does not mean that it is because of a sin or as such. And the Shaykh explains, a way for us to understand this is that the sickness of one's child, whether a major sickness or other, it is a way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purifying us from our sins and putting us to a test and a trial to see if we will be patient or otherwise. And he said, Wallahu alam, and this is where we will stop today. Wa jazakum Allahu khayran wa jaza Shaykh Muhammad Safwat Nur al-Din khayr al-jaza. اتفضل جو. Is the man Muslim?
هو يسأل يقول هو يعرف أحد الرجال يصيد يعني الحيوانات
نعم
ولكن هو يعرف لو كنا في الصيد نأكل اللحم، لكن هذا الرجل يرمي اللحم، هل يجوز هذا أم لا؟
يعني إن كان مسلما فهذا يحرم عليه، وإن كان كافرا فليس بعد الكفر ذنب.
He says, if this man is Muslim, then this is a great sin. But if this man is a disbeliever, what is a greater sin than disbelief?
وجزاكم الله خيرا والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. شكر الله لكم.